Inna alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Faqala ta'ala wa idh qala luqmanu libnihi wa huwa ya'izuhu ya bunayya al la tushrik billah inna ash-shirka la zulmun azim. We continue with our series of khutab on the advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned in Surah Al-Luqman in the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and ears, and even more importantly our hearts, to this advice so that we can follow it and benefit from it. As we know, the purpose of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to benefit us. Whether anyone follows the kalam or does not follow the kalam does not benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Those who follow the kalam of Allah and the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, they do it for their own benefit, and those who do not follow it do it to their own detriment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who follow his kalam and who read it and understand it and who live their lives according to that, inshaAllah. So in this ayat of Surah Al-Luqman, which I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the meaning of the ayat, and Allah said, and remember when Luqman alayhi salam said to his son, when he was advising him, and he said, O my son, do not join others in worship with Allah. Verily, joining others in worship with Allah is a great zulm. It's a great oppression, it's a great wrong indeed. Inshallah, in this set of khutab, especially on Tawheed and so on, we'll try and give you a thumbnail lesson in Aqeedat of Tawheed, inshallah. So we have done a series of lectures. We've done, I think, two series of lectures on Aqeedah, which I suggest you also go to the site and go through them. There is a lazy man's version of it, which is short, and there is a interested person's version of it, which is long. So define yourself and see whichever one you think applies to you. But do see both of them, because the purpose of Aqeedah is not to hit somebody else over the head with it. The purpose of Aqeedah is to understand it, because that is the basis of all our action. Actions with the wrong Aqeedah get no value with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The good action that a person does who does not have the right Aqeedah will benefit that person in this world. So it's not that the person's action has no value, it has no value in the Akhirah. But in this dunya, you smile at someone, they smile back. So in this dunya, the world of cause and effect, the effect of the action of a person who does that action with the wrong Aqeedah remains in this dunya. That action does not help him in the Akhirah. So when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, having performed many, many actions which he considered to be good, he will find that they will have absolutely no benefit, they would not even be recorded, and as a result of which, the person's, on the Day of Judgment, that person will be a loser. Similarly, knowing the right Aqeedah but not performing actions according to that Aqeedah is equally useless. So we need both. We need the Aqeedah and we need the Amal. Aqeedah without Amal is useless. Amal without Aqeedah is also useless. So we need both. So we need to know what is it we believe, and then we need to know, if I believe this, therefore what must I do? So for example, many Muslims, if you ask them, what do you believe? They say, we believe in one God. Belief in one God is not the Islamic Aqeedah. Please understand very clearly, belief in one God is not the Islamic Aqeedah. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is the Islamic Aqeedah. Not one God, some random God that you invented or you found from somewhere, or that is not the Islamic Aqeedah. Please understand. But you will find, you ask, talk to the average person, what is the Islamic belief? It is belief in one God. It is not belief in one God. It is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu as being the only one worthy of worship. What is the kalima? La ilaha illa Allah. La ilaha illa Allah. It is not La ilaha illa ilahu wahid. There is no one worthy of worship except one God. No. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. La ilaha illa Allah is the kalima tayyiba, is the kalima of Islam. It is two kalimas. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Again, the risalat goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul of Allah. So, it is therefore very important. Please do not imagine that just because you are born in a Muslim home, just because you are born with a Muslim name, that automatically you are born with the knowledge of Aqidah. You are not. You are born with a Muslim name, period. Then you pick up some habits from whatever is happening around you. So if you are born in a Muslim home where Islam is practiced properly, then you pick up the cultural aspects of Islam, including ibadah, including worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which until you learn what it is a cultural thing. Why are you doing it? Because my dad does it. My mom does it. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with that. You please do it. But it does not make sense to say, I do it because my father does it. You need to know why you are doing it. You need to know the right way of doing it. Not simply following your father or following your mother without the understanding of that. And that is the reason why the learning of Aqidah is such a critical and important thing. Aqidah is at the absolute root of all our actions. All actions emanate from the correct Aqidah, which is the Aqidah of Tawheed. So in this set of lectures, inshallah, obviously we will not go into detail in all the different aspects of Aqidah, but Tawheed, also we will not go into too much of detail with that, but enough inshallah for us to understand. So do think about that. And then the purpose of all of these lectures is for us to listen to it, and then for us to examine ourselves and say that I now know the correct position. What is my position with respect to this correct position? And if there is any difference, and if I find that in my belief or in my action I was doing something which is outside of the correct position, then I should change my ways. I must change my belief and I must change my actions. Please note also that the correct position is not something which I am propagating. It is not something which I invented. I am giving you the correct position according to the Quran and the Sunnah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, and this is what Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. It is not my personal understanding of it or any such thing. So that's what I mean by correct. Correct is not what I am saying. Correct is what is in the Quran and the Sunnah, and inshallah you will be given the dalail and the proofs of all of that. Also, the text of the khutbah will come with the recording, so do read it, and by all means read it, print it out, use it. What you should not do, and let me say that also, one of the tendencies that I find with a lot of people is they get something from us, either on the WhatsApp group or they get it on the internet group or something, and immediately they forward it to the rest of the world. Then they get into a problem, because now some people in the world will ask them questions which they don't understand. So then send it back to me. Sheikh, I sent it to so and so, this is what he asked. So my response is, I send it back to them and I say, you sent it to him, you answer it. I've got lots of work to do. Please do not imagine that I've got nothing else to do, so I'm sitting here waiting for some dumb question to come from somewhere. No, I'm not. I've got plenty to do. What comes to you is for your consumption. It is for you to understand. It is for you to change your own life. It is not for you to distribute all over the world and then put yourself into a problem and then come back to me and say, this is what so-and-so asked, and now I'm also confused. So please be confused. Don't expect me to respond. I will not respond. Because recently this happened. So and it keeps on happening every few days and few weeks. So I have to keep on reminding people that. So what comes to you is for you. Reflect on it. Think about it. It's not for you to take and hit somebody else over the head with it. It's not for you to criticize other people with it. So very, very important. Whatever comes to you from here, whether it is the khutbats, whether it is the fajr reminders, occasionally we send you also some good advice or advice of the ulama, or we send you some videos and so on. All of that is for your personal consumption. Please see it, please reflect on it, please bring about changes in your life if you need to, and if you find that alhamdulillah you are on the right track, go into sujood, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamat. Somebody asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the key to going to Jannah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qalu Rabbuna Allahu thumma istaqamu. He said, say Allah is my Rabb and remain on that with istiqamat. He said, Qalu Rabbuna Allah. Qul. He said, he recited the ayah, he said, Qul. رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. He said to say, Allah is my Rabb, and say means not just say. Say meaning what? Say meaning then that is how I lead my whole life, as Allah is my Rabb. And inshallah I am mentioning this hadith because that's what we are going to be talking about in this section of this khutbah. Remaining with istiqamat, staying firm on this belief, meaning that we practice this belief in every aspect of our life. This is the key to success. It's not just the belief alone. Yeah, I have the belief today, tomorrow it's gone. No. So for example, what is the istiqamat on La ilaha illallah? Because we're talking about kalima of tawheed. So the kalima of tawheed is La ilaha illallahu Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, is the last and final messenger of Allah, after whom there is no other messenger, no other Nabi, no other Rasul. This is our aqidah of the Muslims, of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and of all the Muslims. So therefore, this is the belief. Now what is the istiqamat on this belief? What is the action on this belief? I believe this, so what must I do? What you must do is Aqimus Salah. What is the proof of that? What is the dalil for that? Because you just said this. You said there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. So therefore what must you do? Worship Allah. You obviously, if you say there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, La ilaha illallah, and then you do not do Salah and you do not worship Allah, then by your action you have denied your belief. And that is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bainana wa bainahum as-salah. Waman aradaha faqad kafara. He said, Al-ahadu alladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah. He said, the ahad, the covenant, the promise, the line, the demarcation, bainana wa bainahum, between us and them is as-salah. And the one who, the one who leaves it, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ, he has denied. That person has committed kufr. And all the Sahaba are collectively agreed upon this one matter, that the one who deliberately does not pray has left Islam. Now that you know this, what must you do? Go and pronounce takfir on everyone who is not praying. Yes? No. Please, that's what I'm saying. The problem with, I am put in a peculiar position because I have to say these things to inform you. But please understand, when I'm informing you, I'm informing you. So you look at your life and say, am I leaving my salah? Am I delaying my salah? فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Allah said, cursed are those who pray, who delay their salah. Am I doing that? If I'm doing that, I need to change myself. I have another brother of mine who is not praying. What must I do? I must tell him, please come, please pray, this is very important. These are the benefits of Salah. Tell him the fadail, tell him the good things of Salah. But do not tell him you are a kafir. Do not tell him unless you pray you will be a kafir. Don't do that. The big reason for not doing that is sometimes people are very combative. So if the person is not, now he is not praying, he maybe didn't think about it and so on and so on. Now you go to him and he say, you know, unless you pray you are a kafir. Now he doesn't like your face. Maybe you are younger than him or something, he is offended. So he said, go to hell, I won't pray, what will you do? So now, you forced him into kufr. Because of your behavior, the man was not praying out of He didn't know, or he didn't give it importance and what not. He hadn't actually taken a position on that. And so, inshallah, al-Mustaan, if he dies in that condition, we ask Allah to forgive him. But because of the way you went about, you now forced him to take a position on this. I will not pray. Go to hell. What will you do? So now he has taken a position on this salah to say, I will not pray. So on the day of judgment, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala catches his neck, what must happen to you? Because you are the one who forced him. So don't do that. Do not do that. Say whatever you have to say in a nice way. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who is kind and the one who is approachable, Allah will give him Jannah. So don't go around hitting people over the head with this and that. Some thing you hear from some khatib. Whatever you hear, whether it's from me or anyone else, please treat it as something that came to you for your personal benefit and take benefit from it. Leave people alone. If somebody is not praying, tell the fadail, this is the beauty of praying, this is the benefit of praying, and so on and so on. If he still does not pray, stand in tahajjud, cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua. This we don't want to do. That's too much trouble. Easier to bang someone on the head with some fatwa and walk away. So please don't do that. Right? So we are on the issue of tawheed. And therefore, the ayat of Surah Al-Luqman, which I recited before you, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِيزُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. I won't go into the grammar of it, why, inna, and so on and so forth. But what it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, verily and truly, shirk is the worst of transgressions. It's the worst of oppressions. So simply saying ashirk uzulmun azim would be enough, but inna shirka la zulmun azim. Verily and truly, make no mistake about this, that shirk, joining someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, between now and following coming Jumaat, we'll talk about all that. What is the meaning of joining and so on and so on. So if there is one thing which differentiates Islam from the rest of world religions, it is tawheed. That is pure monotheism, the worship of only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Without any partners in his zat, in his sifat, in his asma, in his af'al. No partners in himself, in his being, no partners in his power and majesty and glory. No power, no partners in his magnificence, no partners in him as the creator and sustainer and provider of all that he created. No partners in his names and attributes, in his sifat, no partner in his actions, what he does, Jalla Jalaluhu. This is Tawheed. So Tawheed, Islamically speaking, not linguistically speaking, Islamically speaking, Tawheed means attributing oneness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and describing him as being one and unique with no partner, no equal, no peer in any aspect that relates to him. Tawheed means to know, not only to say, but to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and that there is no one like him. Now, whoever does not acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these terms and does not describe him as being one with no partner, no associate, that person does not believe in Tawheed. Whoever gives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the qualities of his creatures or gives creatures the qualities of Allah does not believe in Tawheed. This action is called anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism is to give the qualities of humans to God and to give the qualities of God to humans. Anthropomorphism is what was in the ancient Greek religions. In the religion that the Romans brought, which they inherited from the Greeks, and they only changed the names of the gods. Anthropomorphism is also what is found in the Hindu religion, where you give human qualities to God, and you, therefore, that is the reason also why in the Hindu religion, in the Greek religion, in the Roman religion, there are multiple gods, because now each quality became a god by itself. So there is a God of kindness and a God of war and a God of rain and a God of money and a God of this and a God of that. Because of what human beings did with the original, which is one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So anthropomorphism is to give these qualities. It's also to give divine qualities to people. And to claim that a human being or any creature, whether a human being or a jinn or an angel or anything, has any quality which actually belongs only to Allah. This also comes into the same definition. So this is also shirk. So to claim that a human has divine qualities is shirk. To claim that Allah has human tendencies, na'udhu billah, is also shirk. So even where, and this is one of the points to understand in reading the Quran, is even where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used terms which are within quotes human. For example, Allah said, "Bi yadihil khair." In His hand there is khair. So what is our belief about the hand of Allah? Our belief is, if somebody says, "Does Allah have a hand?" What is the answer? Yes. How do we know that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Bi yadihil khair." In His hand there is khair. What is this hand like? We do not know. So to say that the hand of Allah actually means such and such, His power and so on, is not from the Islamic Aqidah. Or to say that the hand of Allah is like my hand or your hand is also not from Islamic Aqidah. So we say what we know and we do not give an explanation about what we do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth in six periods, and then He made istawa on the arsh. So what is the meaning of istawa? Do we believe that Allah makes istawa on the arsh, that Allah is on the arsh? Do we believe this? Yes, we believe it. Why do we believe it? Because Allah said so. So mastawa ala arsh, Allah said He is on the arsh. But somebody says, when you say Allah is on the earth, what does it mean? Is He sitting on the earth? Is He standing on the earth? What is He doing? We do not know. So what is the answer to that? We do not know. Because Allah did not tell us what is the nature of this istiwa. So we say what we know and we do not say what we do not know. We do not try to give explanations. We do not try to translate that into human terms. The reason I am saying all of this is because this is how it gets translated. We don't know the answer. So we then say, well, you see, it is like this. It is not like anything because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. 2 points in this ayah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. First point is, Allah said, Allah is not like anything in His creation. Allah is not like anything in His creation. Allah does not resemble anything in His creation, Jalla Jalaluhu. And then He said, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. But He is the one who listens and He sees. Now, two qualities which also belong to, we also listen, we also see. So what is the nature of the listening and the seeing of Allah? Is it like ours? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using these terms so that we understand what is being said. But the nature of the listening of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike our listening in any aspect of our listening. The nature of the listening of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simultaneously listens to everything which speaks, which does not restrict only to human beings. He understands every single language which does not refer only to our languages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way best known to Himself, retains all of that knowledge forever and ever, which also is not like us. There is no forgetfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on and so on. So the listening of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely different from our listening. The seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah sees that which is hidden. Allah sees that which has not happened yet. Allah sees that which has happened before, and when we're saying see, we may know it, we have not seen it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually sees it. Because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no past, there is no future. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, also sees what has never happened before. And that is what happened when we hear, listen to the ahadith with respect to Isra wal Mi'raj and what Rasulullah was shown with respect to Yawmul Qiyamah and Jannah and Jahannam and so on. These are things which have not happened. So how did Nabi see them? Allah did not call him there to describe, this is what is going to happen. Allah showed him. Because in the perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm using all of these words with great care and with respect, and ask Allah to forgive me, I'm not trying to compare him with anything. In the perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something which has happened, something which is happening, and something which is going to happen, there is no, Allah has no boundaries to this. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is as if it is all together in one place, and Allah can differentiate the way He wants, and to those who He wants to show, He can show. So in the case of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. He showed him some of the things that were also going to happen, which have not happened yet. So laisa kamislihi shayun. There is no one resembling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And that is our belief as far as Tawheed is concerned. Tawheed is generally divided, as I mentioned these terms just now, but just to draw your attention, for the sake of understanding and teaching, Tawheed is not three parts. But for the sake of teaching and understanding, usually it is divided into three parts. There is Tawheed Rububiyat, which is the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Rabbul Alameen, the creator, the sustainer, the maintainer, the provider of all that He created. And that's called Tawheedur Rububiyat. And then there is Tawheedul Uluhiyah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and is the sustainer and so on, we worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which is called Tawheed of the Ilaha Wahid, the one Ilah, which is Allah. So that's Tawheedul Uluhiyat. And then who is this Ilah? Who is Allah? Allah is who He described Himself to be. So therefore it is Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat Allah Ta'ala. So these are not three different branches of Tawheed. These are not three divisions of Tawheed. It is the same Tawheed. So when we say, I believe in Tawheed, simultaneously it is to believe that only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. It is to believe that only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of worship. And it is to believe only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Hamil, is the owner, and is the one who has all His Asma wa Sifat, all His names and attributes at a level of perfection which He described. Because some of the Asma and Sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also used, and Allah used them to define, to describe people. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred in Surah Tawbah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Raufur Rahim. Now Raufur Rahim is Ar-Rauf, and Ar-Rahim is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else. That is the particularization of that ism, of that sifat. But the sifat of Rahmah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave that sifat to all human beings. And Allah mentioned mentioned Raufur Rahim, not Ar-Rauf Ar-Rahim, He said Raufur Rahim to with respect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in certain cases, some of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been used by Allah for people, and this is therefore permissible. But there are other names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which have not been used for people, and therefore they are not permitted to be used even as names. And one of the big ones where we get into trouble with is Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Allah and Ar-Rahman only and only for Himself. These are the particular names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we use this word Rahman as one of our names. It is permissible to do that provided you prefix it with Abd, Abdur Rahman. And if you give your son the name Abdur Rahman, use Abdur Rahman, the full name. His name is not Rahman, his name is Abdur Rahman. Now all of us Urdu speakers, we don't do that. We say Rahman Bhai. We've got a very good Sherwani tailor called Rahman and Sons. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Let's go and explain to him. What kind of a name is that? Rahman and Sons. That is directly against Tawheed. I'm sure he does not know. I mean, I'm not saying we are not blaming him. I'm sure it is our job to, when you are paying for the Sherwanis, explain to him. So please tell him, don't have a name like this. You know, call it something else. So very important for us to remember this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased. I'm not rushing through this because this is a very, very important aspect of Tawheed. So let us go slowly through it. I want to end with the with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beautiful description of himself, where they asked him, who is Allah? They asked themselves, who is Allah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, and what did he reveal? He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid wa Lam Yulad wa Lam Yakul lahu Kufuwan Ahad. Allah did not say, Qul Allahu Wahid, Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. So without going into the Arabic and so on and so forth, Allah said, He is Allah. And in the translation, we say, He is one. But when you say one, the Arabic translation, the Arabic word for one is Wahid. It's not Ahad. So again, the issue of translations. But remember that, and translation is, we go to the original, we don't go by the translation. Qul hu Allahu Ahad. So it is one, but in one in a way where there is no two. So is one in an extremely unique way which cannot even be applied in the language to anyone else. Qul wallahu ahad, Allahu samad. Allah is free from all wants. Allah needs nothing. Allah gives everything. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not beget. He has no children and so on. And Allah has no father or mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوَانَ أَحَدٍ. And there is no one equal or comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalla. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on Aqidatu Tawheed, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us in a state of Aqidatu Tawheed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us with this beautiful kalima at-tayyiba on our tongues. May the last thing we say be La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us on the day of judgment reciting Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin.